Welcome to CPA Spotlight, a look at the issues that impact CPAs, their clients, and their businesses from the Maryland Association of CPAs. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I'm Bill Sheridan. Today, I wanted to take an updated look at the state of employee benefit plan audits. Now, a few years ago, the Department of Labor started spreading word that too many of these audits were deficient in one way or another, and that more than $38 billion in Maryland plan assets were actually at risk as a result. And that certainly opened our eyes. Now, with the MACPA's 2012 Employee Benefit Plan Audit Conference coming up on May 8th, I thought it would be a good time to get an update. So I called up Ian Dingwall. Ian is the Chief Accountant for the Department of Labor. And I asked him, where are we today? Long story short, not much has changed, unfortunately. Here's Ian Dingwall.
Now, Mr. Dingwall, back in 2008, you contacted us about your concern over the deficiency rate for employee benefit plan audits in Maryland. And at the time, I think about 30% of those audits were failing to meet minimum requirements for professional standards. I'm curious, where do we stand today? Has there been any improvement over the last 4 years?
Well, Bill, we always are keeping statistics here in the Office of the Chief Accountant, but they're on a national level so that I can say that we in the office over the years have performed about 1,946 work paper reviews, and unfortunately about a third of those still contain what we consider to be material deficiencies, in that at least one of the requirements in the audit guide is not being adhered to. The primary deficiency, of course, that we find is that oftentimes auditors will do work, but that work is not documented. So we give no credit for undocumented work, and that is the thing that seems to bring the statistic or keep the statistic down.
So what is it that auditors, our members, CPAs who do these audits, what should they be doing, in your opinion, to kind of bring that deficiency rate down to a more acceptable level?
Well, there's three words, document, document, document. And frankly, I think they oftentimes do work and don't take enough credit for the work they've done. And mm-hmm. We show up and look at the work papers. If they haven't documented it, we conclude they didn't do it, and we give no credit for undocumented work. That seems to be the big factor in the deficiency rate. Just that failure to document the work that oftentimes I think has probably been done, but we can't credit it.
What, outside of that obvious deficiency there, what areas should auditors kind of be watching these days? Are there any specific issues that you think they need to pay attention to?
Well, one of the other big concerns that we have is that that auditors this year, I think, are facing a very difficult audit cycle. We know that we have a bad economy. We know that many plans have invested in hard-to-value assets that will need a lot of close attention in terms of trying to make sure that perhaps the right specialist is on the job. We're seeing that these days that more and more auditors need to use the work of specialists. We see that is particularly true in the ESOP audits that we review, where perhaps they haven't engaged a proper specialist to help them evaluate the work of the ESOP appraisal. Health plans, oftentimes auditors are very perplexed and overwhelmed at what it takes to audit a health benefit plan. And the same is true for defined benefit plans. These audits are quite unique and are kind of risky propositions if you're not well skilled at doing these audits and have some specialty in doing it. So we always invite auditors to go out and get their own specialists if they don't know what they're doing, and especially in the valuation area where we need to make sure that these valuation experts that they get hired are doing a good job for us.
And let's talk about plan sponsors for a second. What kind of issues should they be focusing on?
Well, plan sponsors, I think today need to be focused on a lot of the new changes that are coming through, where we have tried to put more transparent plans in place for the future. We put out a number of regulations trying to improve the transparency associated with plans, particularly in the plan fee area. We have a new regulation under 408B2 that requires lots of disclosures to be made to a plan administrator at or before the time they enter into certain service agreements. That would be an important thing for them to pay attention to. The 408B2 regulations kick in on July 1, 2012, so that's a big change. Also, we are requiring participant-level disclosures to be made under our regulations under 404, so that participants know exactly what their choices are in terms of investments, and they will know what costs, fees, and expenses are associated with a particular investment opportunity, and that will help them to make good informed decisions. So these will be challenges for plan administrators to make sure that they're adequately disclosing plan fees and expenses, and that includes in their filings with the government. We have a requirement on the Form 5500 Schedule C that plans detail what fees and they paid, assuming they're more than $5,000 out of plan assets. So there's lots for plan sponsors to worry about and to think about for this upcoming filing season.
Now, back when we talked in 2008, audits of 403B plans were just kind of surfacing as an issue to watch. How are those types of audits working out? What should sponsors and auditors know about them?
Well, frankly, this is like the second or third time around for some of these plans to be audited, and we are seeing that some of these plans that historically have taken advantage of some of the relief that we provided that allows them to exclude pre-January 1, 2009 contracts are now deciding to include these contracts in the financial statements going forward. There are lots of plans that therefore will be amending their reports to include these assets and to make them more comparative. We encourage people to do that. We want to have financial statements for 403B plans that are as complete and accurate as possible, and notwithstanding the department's position that people can exclude these January 1, 2009 assets, it is in our view a better way to go to include them. And so auditors should be encouraging their clients to do that. I think generally we've seen that these 403B plan audits are very well done. People know that these were risky audits. It's going into them. They have doing a lot of good work to educate themselves on the uniqueness of 403B plans. And by and large, we think that this audit cycle, last two audit cycles, has gone pretty well.
How big of an issue is fraud related to these audits?
Well, clearly over the last year, the department has brought a number of cases where plans were harmed because of fraud. We've seen this as a result, I think, of a down economy that oftentimes personnel has been let go, and so the same kinds of checks and balances that used to exist in the plan don't exist anymore. We've seen that some fairly low-level people have stolen quite a bit of money out of plans. The Sandhogs case was a $40 million investment that we settled last year. There's an uptick in criminal enforcement cases, which if you look on the AICPA's Employee Benefit Plan website, you'll see a whole list of criminal enforcement cases that we brought over the last couple of years. And it gives you a kind of an eye-opening. I think if I was going to be involved in trying to teach auditors about fraud, I'd go to that document and look at and discuss with plant auditors, all the things they should be thinking about, the possibilities that exist for people to perpetrate a fraud on an employee benefit plan. So, again, I don't think you can have your eyes wide enough open during this upcoming audit season, because, frankly, frauds do exist, and they are perpetrated on plans that have lots of cash.
And that sounds like an issue that has a lot of challenges and a lot of potential solutions to it. Where would somebody start if they were truly worried about fraud? What are some of the first basic things that you would suggest that they look for or do?
Well, we know that, that one of the first things that auditors need to do in planning the engagement is think about the possibility that exists for fraud, and to have a good interview with their client that talks about the possibilities for fraud that could have happened with a particular employee benefit plan. I think that's job one, is to have a good, candid discussion with your client. Ask them what they're worried about. And then after that, it's a matter of trying to assess what you hear and trying to go out and figure out the possibilities for the existence of fraud. You know, we've seen frauds in health and welfare benefit plan audits where, you know, people try to be generous, pay the wrong amount. Under an employee benefit plan, you can only pay the amount out that the plan documents allow, and no more, no less. So I think as a starting point, people just need to have that brainstorming session before the plan audit engagement begins.
Are there any resources out there that could help our members and auditors do their jobs better? Where can they turn for some information?
Yeah, there's lots of help out there, I think, for auditors that want to look for help. The Audit Quality Center is a wonderful resource for auditors of employee benefit plans. The IRS has an excellent website, and so does the Department of Labor. But I think more importantly, if auditors have questions, they're free to call the Department of Labor at 202-693-8360.
Well, Ian Dingwall, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you.
That was Ian Dingwall, Chief Accountant with the U.S. Department of Labor on the State of Employee Benefit Plan Audits. You can learn more about how to improve the quality of these audits by attending the MACPA's 2012 Employee Benefit Plan Audit Conference on May 8th at the Sheridan Columbia. Keep an eye on our website for details about that. Also, the MACPA is offering an 8-hour program titled Audits of 401k Plans. That'll be held on May 21st in Columbia and again on May 22nd at the Johns Hopkins Montgomery County campus in Rockville. You'll find details in our online course catalog, which is at macpa.org/search. And some of the resources that Dingwall mentioned have lots of information as well. There's the Center for Audit Quality at thecaq.org. There's the IRS's Retirement Plans Community, which is accessible at irs.gov. And there's the Department of Labor's Health Plans and Benefits Center, which you can find at dol.gov. And as he said, if you want to speak with someone directly at the Department of Labor, you can always call 202-693-8360. Thanks for listening. For details about these and other issues that impact CPAs, contact the Maryland Association of CPAs at 1-800-782-2036 or visit us on the web at www.macpa.org.